Jesus proposed a parable to the crowds. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that a person took and sowed in a field. It is the smallest of all the seeds, yet when full grown it is the largest of plants. It becomes a large bush, and the birds of the sky come and dwell in its branches. He spoke to them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed with 3 measures of wheat flour until the whole batch was leavened. All these things Jesus spoke to the crowd in parables. He spoke to them only in parables to fulfill what had been said through the prophet. I will open my mouth in parables. I will announce what has lain hidden from the foundation of the world. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Spoke to them only in parables to fulfill what had been said, that I will announce what has lain hidden from the foundation of the world. We talked last week about how Jesus uses parables to smoke out whether we really want to hear the Word of God. Because parables require a little bit of work to be able to find what is signified by the analogies Jesus uses. The very end of this chapter of 8 parables in Matthew 13, the other interpretation is given, that Jesus uses parables because that would be the means by which he would reveal what was hidden in plain sight from the foundation of the world. So today we can look at these 2 parables from that latter lens. God is always working in the world, but he chooses to start really small and build, to just take a little and to have it have a massive, disproportionate impact. So the 2 parables today, the mustard seed, smallest of all the seeds, that becomes a huge shrub in which all the birds of the air can find nest in its branches. And that tiny little bit of yeast that can raise a whole bunch of dough. We see this in the fiat of Mary, how one young girl in Nazareth says yes, was able to change the history of the world. We see it, what the Lord was able to do with 12 fishermen and other relative nobodies, and how they were able to bring that kingdom throughout the globe. We've seen it over and over and over again in church history. 1 or 2 families could be the instruments by which God has found a thriving parish. That one solitary religious order would be able to go throughout the entire world. Today we celebrate the feast of St. Ignatius of Loyola, and we see what God was able to do with him. This knight who wanted to seek earthly honor, somebody who hadn't really practiced the faith, all of a sudden gets struck with a cannonball and is convalescing in his castle, has nothing to read other than a life of Christ and some lives of the saints in Spanish. And all of a sudden, as he reads that life of Christ, reading some of these parables that he had said, he found the king he wanted to serve. And then when he read those lives of the saints, he recognized that they had heartbeats just like his, that they had thirst and hunger just like he did. And he asked that really important question. I think one of the most important questions we can get from all of hagiography. Why can't I do what Francis of Assisi has done? Why can't I do what Dominic of Guzman has done? The same Lord who strengthened them could strengthen him. It wasn't so much something of natural forces, but of supernatural forces, that God could start with a guy with a blown up leg and change the world. And that's precisely what he did. It took 19 years of patience as he himself got ready. He met some people when he went back to school who became the first group of Jesuits. but now the Jesuits are in 112 countries. They have 16,000 Jesuits. 20 years ago they had 28,000. They're the largest male order in the world, all over. What began with the mustard seed of a convalescing knight became an extraordinary shrub in which so many students, so many poor, so many people who have never heard the word of God before have been able to rest in its branches. We see that with so many other religious orders. Francis, Dominic, to whom he pointed, and so many others in one day the Sisters of Life. What starts small, the Lord reveals the mystery of his kingdom because he is able to give it growth. Elsewhere in the Gospel, Jesus describes this image of leaven, that there is a good leaven and there is a bad leaven. Good leaven gives growth and lifts everybody up. The bad leaven is a toxin that essentially deflates everyone. And we see today an example of both in the first reading. The bad leaven of Aaron that came from his cowardice. Moses is up praying for 40 days and 40 nights at the top of the mountain as God's speaking to him and inscribing himself the Ten Commandments on both sides of rock tablets. And then he comes down and he finds out what had been happening in his absence. The people started to get restless. They thought Moses might never come down. As Pope Francis, a son of St. Ignatius, always says, we always have to be worshiping something. We're either going to be worshiping God or we're going to be worshiping the devil. And they needed to have something and they didn't want to wait. Their impatience was killing them. So they go to Aaron, who I think is the model of sacerdotal cowardice. We've got to do something. And Aaron, incapable of withstanding the people, just unwilling to just say, give it time, wait for Moses, says, give me all your jewelry. And then he puts it into a furnace. And in the lamest excuse of all of human history, something that no even pathetic teenager would ever try, says, I just put it into the furnace and this golden calf came out. An image of two things. First, that they were descending into being moral animals, rather than as those in God's image and likeness, and how they were still worshiping material stuff, mammon. We could say both were summarized in this idol. And they were led there, as Moses said, by Aaron himself. Could have led them in a different direction, could have slammed on the bricks, could have had courage to say no, but he just didn't. How much bad leaven we still have. Those who are cowards, those who don't stand up, those who guide people in the wrong direction rather than the right, rather than having a sorsum corda effect, lifting hearts up toward God, they drag others down. Moses is the flip side. As soon as he sees this, he goes to the Lord and he intercedes on behalf of the people that the Lord might be merciful to them. His prayer saved all of them. What type of leaven are we going to be? It's not just something that happens to us. It's something that we really need to choose to be. Are we going to be somebody by our conversations that are always lifting everybody up, lifting the conversation up, lifting the mood up? Are we going to be ones because of our cowardice when somebody else is trying to drag down, we won't do anything? And we'll just receive what they give. And then all of a sudden, in the furnace of that anger or disappointment or anything else, idols will pop out. One of the most beautiful virtues of St. Ignatius is his indomitable courage. This was a man who was capable of giving his life for some type of earthly vanity, that once he discerned those spirits and discerned what God was asking of him, was willing courageously, despite suffering, to do what that king wanted. He's interceding for us that we might have that same spirit. The real source of his life was his daily encounter with the Lord here. He would ask the Lord to take away all his liberty, all his understanding, all his will, but to give him his grace and love, that this would be enough for him to be that leaven. And the Lord gives us that incarnate grace and love every time we enter into Holy Communion. He started off his spiritual exercises, you know, with a beautiful prayer of the Anima Christi. And we ask that same blood from the side of Christ to inebriate us, that water flowing with that blood to wash us, and to give us that type of indomitable courage so that we might be that mustard seed, that leaven in the midst of the church, because God has planted us to reveal what has been hidden since the foundation of the world. Praise be Jesus Christ.